Welcome to the Grow My Salon Business podcast, where we focus on the business side of hairdressing. I'm your host, Anthony Whitaker, and I'll be talking to thought leaders in the hairdressing industry, discussing insightful, provocative, and inspiring ideas that matter. So get ready to learn, get ready to be challenged, get ready to be inspired, and most importantly, get ready to grow your salon business.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Grow My Salon Business podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Whitaker, and as always, it's great to have you here with us today. Now, obviously, I'm not sure when you are actually listening to this podcast, but I am sure that in the middle of January 2024, we are relaunching our online money course. And so if you're a salon owner and you recognize that mastery of your understanding of the numbers in your business is an essential piece of the success puzzle, then head on over to growmysalonbusiness.com and find out all about money, the online course. So with that said, on with today's show, where I'm talking with my friend and returning guest, Gianni Scamacci, who was last on the podcast in episode 121, which went out on the 28th of December in 2021. So about 2 years ago to the date. And in that time, I think it's fair to say that a lot has changed for everyone. Now, in today's podcast, we will discuss Gianni's new academy space, digital education, and most importantly, his soon-to-be-launched Mimo app, and lots more. So, without further ado, welcome back to the show, Gianni.
Thanks, Anthony. It's great to be back with you. Thanks for having me back on.
No, it's really good to have this opportunity to chat. As I said in the intro, you were last on the podcast 2 years ago. It doesn't seem that long, but it's 2 years ago. And I wanted to get you back as part of a series that I've been doing about digital education. So let's touch on that first, and then we'll get to the other stuff. So let's just begin by asking what's been happening with your online education side of your business.
Well, I say thank you for having me. It's amazing. It's been 2 years. And when I reflect back of where we were in terms of the education, online education businesses, a lot has happened since then. Since then, just in short, we're now in over 90 countries globally. And my wife, who's the more intelligent one, who's fluent in three or four languages, has transcribed and translated and narrated actually into, we're now in three languages. So we're narrated, we're not sort of subtitled. We really wanted people to be able to enjoy the experience of learning without having to read and watch at the same time. And okay. So it's part of our, or part of the philosophy as well. So we're in English, of course, which is me, but we're also in the Spanish speaking world and also the Italian speaking world. So we've grown, and I'm really proud and excited to be able to share that with you since we last spoke.
Good. So Sylvia is not just your head of IT <That's right. laughs> and mother of your daughter, etc., and yes. But she's also fluent in English, Italian, and Spanish. Yeah.
Yes, and she is. I'm very lucky. I'm definitely punching above my weight there, Anthony.
Yeah, definitely. I'll say.
As you once told me over dinner.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I did, didn't I? Well, that was before you got married. I said, you know, when are you going to, you know, do what you need to do here? So anyway, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time.
5 years ago or something now. Yeah. So the online education thing is still, I know, like a lot of people in the online space, me included, you know, COVID really lit a fire underneath everything to do with online. And you were already in that space anyway, and it really has just taken off, and you continue to build on that offering. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, we basically expanded the library. So we have three different courses now. We have the Discover, which is foundational, which shows the kind of foundational aspects of cutting hair, into the Create course, which is the Create course. Incidentally, I've just finished recording the next chapter. So we ended up with nearly 45 videos in total from a cutting point of view. But the Create course was always about transferring those foundational techniques into a salon environment. And all but one of the currently 34 Create videos are all my clients. They're actually, I create them on the salon floor with my clients.
Yeah.
And I'll talk more about that during our chat. And then I bring them into the studio and repeat them. So actually each technique, I say, I'm being really transparent. One was done for a show and I took that back into the studio, but everything else apart from the one has all been done in the salon. And it was important for me. I think I'm very humbled by, you know, by the response that we've had to the online. And I think it's because ultimately I'm sort of showcasing what I do in the salon on the clients. And I think that translates to other stylists from the feedback we've been given. I mean, I just do it because I love doing it. But I also do it very much from the heart. And for me, there's a story behind every technique, a personal story, a client story. And I'll share more about that with philosophy and integration. But yeah, we've expanded it and, really, really, really happy to be able to report that back to you because, you know, the world is not an easy place for everybody. And at the moment, specifically, it's got, obviously, in many respects, it's got a lot more difficult. And businesses are up and down and everything in between. So I'm just continuing doing what I believe in and hopefully helping develop people, you know, globally in the different fields now. We've got the different languages.
Yeah. Now, I know for our listeners, you know, as I mentioned, episode 121, I think I said it was, which is 2 years ago, but I would highly recommend you go back to that and have a listen to that if you haven't already listened to it, because we talk in a lot more detail about Gianni's background and a lot more about the online education, you know, and education philosophies that he has in that episode. So, you know, I haven't had the pleasure of seeing you for a little while, actually, face to face. It's just been over, you know, the screen, etc., and on social media. And one of the things I wanted to say was that on social media, I'm for our audience who don't know, you actually don't live in England anymore. You live, you frequently visit England because you have clients here, but you actually live just outside of Rome, don't you? And what I've seen is that you have a studio now, which is called GS Academy, if I'm right. And I see it on social media. And every time I look at it, I go, hang on, what am I doing here when you could have that lifestyle? Because I see this, you know, this great vista of looking over the Italian countryside. And that appears to be your academy space. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about your new academy space, which is, as I say, a couple of hours outside of Rome?
Oh, well, thank you for saying that, Anthony. I'll take that from great weight coming from you. I'm very lucky. When we moved to Italy during the pandemic, we live, as I say, about an hour from Rome, hour and a half from Rome. And we're in between, set between the mountains. And one of the things I wanted to do, I'm very family orientated. And so although I've been lucky enough to have the experiences that I've had so far in my career, I really wanted to stay closer to my wife, my daughter. We have she's nearly four now, three and a half, four. And so I really wanted to spend more time with them. And I thought, how can I do that? And of course, the online you referenced earlier was one way of doing it. But I thought, how can I do this? Because online doesn't replace live education. It's there to protect the investment of it and help people prepare for that experience. So I thought, well, how can I give them that experience without having to jump on a plane all the time? Because my life was very much that, like it is for a lot of my contemporaries and people in the industry. And so I decided, I thought maybe it would be an idea for people to come to me. And although I've never had my own academy space in the past, I thought maybe we could create one. And I've got a good friend here who owns this beautiful tenuta, which is like a villa, essentially. And the villa is a building and its surrounding grounds, but a tenuta is everything you see beyond it. And this friend of my collaborator, Marinella, she has this beautiful place and I'm familiar with it. It's actually where I stayed the night before I got married, actually. That's originally how I came across this. But she's an artisan and she's an amazing chef and cook. She's a master in certain areas and all the food there is organic. And it's the way she is as a person. We have a very similar way. And I could feel a collaboration was possible and she loved it. And so what we do is we invite people. We've had people from Australia, numerous people from Australia, from Mexico, from Canada, from North America, the States, of course, throughout Europe as well. People have come and they come for an experience. And so the idea is they come to, there's no Ubers, there's no taxis, there's no trains. You really are in the middle of nowhere, as you mentioned, and you have the vista of the Lazio crossing over to the Umbrian border countryside between mountains. And I think what it does for the people that have come, they stay in the villa, which is 20 yards from where we the academy spaces itself. And it's very tranquil. And I think what it does, it gives people a chance to step out of their busy environment and a busy urban environment, which you may find in the city of London or New York or wherever else. And this gives them a completely different perspective, I think, on their learning process. And because of the philosophy that I have is heart to hand, but it really gets them in touch with who they are. The emphasis is on them. You know, they don't, for them, the emphasis is the client when the client is paying them. But at this, in this scenario, it's really about them and really about them. When I'm teaching, a lot of people come for technique, but they don't end up, they leave with technique, but they leave with something else because I prefer to go a bit deeper. For me, technique is just the entry level of really what I do. It's about them sort of going deeper into themselves and understanding some of the more difficult areas that they may have to confront to develop as a person and a hairdresser. And we don't push people, but people tend to find more safer and less vulnerable in that type of environment. And that's where I really feel that we can bring value to the people that come.
Okay. Well, we will talk more about your philosophy in a minute, because I know that heart to hand or hand to heart is a really fundamental, you know, part that of everything that you do. It runs through absolutely everything. I saw you had, I think they were Canadian guys. You had two Canadian guys there that you were teaching. And on the little post you did on Instagram, you had, was it Marinella? Did you call her Marinella?
Marinella, yeah.
And she's cooking up a storm like Italian mama. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, that looks absolutely fantastic to go on a hairdressing course with, you know, the epitome of the, you know, my idea of the Italian mama cooking up and a beautiful meal and doing haircuts with this great Italian vista in the background. So,
very quickly on that, we decided what was happening was that two wonderful hairdressers from Canada, actually, Jason and Antonio, and also Daniel came, but they essentially, what we found was that the food became, it's a quite integral part of the experience, of course, being in Italy. And we decided to hold a mini course within the course. So at lunchtime, there would be a mini demonstration and workshop on how you cook the amatriciana, which is the pasta of the local area here. Yeah. And Marinella does that better than anybody you could ever meet. So we sort of doing courses within courses. Yeah, so it was good fun to do that. Not for everyone, but if people are interested, it's really, you know what, Anthony, I've always felt this, is that I think that information given without emotion is very rarely remembered. Mm. And for me, it's about attaching and associating emotion to it, an experience that then reinforces the information that's gone in. And that for me was a clear one, because, you know, Marinella cooks from the heart. She has a heart to hand philosophy with the food. And we thought we could do that. And so really it's about creating that emotional interaction, not just with the hair, but with the food as well. So that was the kind of psychology behind it.
Okay. And are they very small groups that you have there?
Yeah, we at the moment, due to the demand, we have limited spaces. We bring in, it's usually private groups rather than open dates. It's either, we've had groups of six, and we've had groups of three, two, and also one-to-ones. We are actually about to take on a big group of 10 the next year for 2024, and we're attracting large groups. But at the moment, that's where it's been. You know, the space itself can hold up to 30. It's quite large. With an adjacent villa nearby that can house for the accommodation. So we've got the setup there. I've realized, being in the industry for the time I've been, that I've probably got less time ahead of me than I've had behind me now. And for that reason, I'm really keen to make the best difference I can for people that come. So we're really particular about wanting to really give the best value, not just to the person themselves, which is really the focus, but also the business that they're working in. Because a lot of people come and they may want to take that back to their team because it's an investment, of course, or they may need help. And so we offer lots of different things within the time they're with us.
Yeah. So you come, you learn a couple of haircuts and you leave 10 pounds heavier. What's not to like?
Don't say that. Exactly. Right, okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on, because I'm desperate to talk about this new, the MIMO app. But I think before we do that, and you've already touched on this, and I know it's something that you're very passionate about, and that is your philosophy that sort of underpins everything. So whether you're talking about your online education, or as you've just been talking about, you know, the GS Academy, talk to us a little bit more about, what do you mean when you use this phrase? You've said it a couple of times already, heart to hand. What is that philosophy, and how does it underpin what you do? And then we can segue straight into talking about the MIMO app.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for asking me. Because it is something, I may have mentioned it, I'm really passionate, because it does underpin everything I do. So I've been lucky enough to work, and I still do, in different genres of hairdressing. So we've mentioned education in two forms, the online and the live. I also travel, as you mentioned earlier, back to London every 2 months, and I do 10 days back to back, 12 hour days behind the chair, with fully booked with clients, as well. And I also work, less so, but I still do, on shoots, whether it's editorial, advertising, or celebrity. So across that genre of hairdressing, the heart to hand philosophy that I've had, and it started with me when I was really young, was really, I apply that in all the different contexts of those environments. And so maybe we could speak about the salon, because it's more relevant maybe to what we're doing. But the heart to hand is how I work with a person and a client. So the first thing I do, it's four steps, heart to hand. It's the heart, it's the mind, it's the eye, and it ends up in the hands. It's very simple. And the heart is, when a client comes to me in the salon, the first thing I want to do is engage with them emotionally. I want to emotionally connect with them. What does that mean? Well, it's really important for me to understand who they are as a person and how they're feeling at that time. That's the first step. It's critical for me to pick that frequency up. I don't always get it correct. I'm not always right. I don't always get it right, but I attempt to get to that point quickly. Then it transfers that journey from the heart to the mind, which is really about then translating that emotional interpretation into hair. You know, what am I going to do? What technique, or what am I going to choose to do shape-wise to interpret that emotion the client is feeling at the moment? The third thing is then the eye. So that's the mind's eye and the physical eye. The eye is like a muscle. So then you sort of visualize how that's going to look on the person. And then when that's all done, it ends up in the hand, where you purely create the hair. So that's the journey. And for me, it's very important to be able to, people come to me often on courses, and they say, they're always looking at my hands. They're looking at this. They want to know how. How does that work? How are you doing that technique? For me, doing good technique and understanding technique is just purely entry level. You know, I've worked with some most amazing technical geniuses that you could possibly meet in cutting hair. And they're not necessarily successful in the salon. That, you know, that's come at a great price to them, because they're, you know, you asked me something on the last podcast, right at the end, you slightly threw me, and you said, give me in one word how you define success, what a successful stylist is. You know, what is the one word you'd use? And I used the word awareness, but we didn't get a chance to expand on it. You know, it's having this awareness, and it's an emotional awareness, not just a technical awareness. And I think this word emotion gets used a lot at the moment in this industry, but I'd like to really pin it down to specifics so we can understand what I actually mean. So I think I work with stylists, going back to what I was saying, which is really technically great, but not necessarily busy. And I've worked with stylists that don't necessarily do brilliant hair technically, but they're packed out and they're really successful. And the reason for that is, there is a formula to being successful in a salon, which I'm sure a lot of people are aware of. But with the 30 years I've been working in salons, you know, I'm a third generation hairdresser, and I started cutting hair when I was 10, 12 in a salon. I've worked with a lot of different people across the world, and I've noticed the same pattern. And, you know, that we'll get into when it comes to the app. But for me, it's about transferring that emotional connection with a client into, say, what you do with the technique, into visualizing it, and then finally creating it. For me, what's really important is the art of listening. And I'd like to share that with you a little bit. I mean, I often teach, when I'm teaching people, listen to what's not being said, you know, and when, if I can, I usually have visuals to talk through this, and it simplifies it, but I'll just try to simplify it very quickly in verbal for you. It's about framing. So if I can do that, that's a frame, right? Let's just say you're my client, Anthony, just for the sake of this little analogy. When you come in as my client, you're giving me signals. Those signals can be what you're wearing, how you smell, perfume-wise or any otherwise, to maybe, are you married with a wedding ring, to maybe tattoos, to anything. There's a lot of information that you'll give without speaking to me. And when I come to meet you, my job is, as a hairdresser, is to frame you, understand how you see yourself. So my job is to say, right, this is Anthony. How is he seeing himself? And my job is to repeat that back to you so you feel safe. So then when you're sat in the chair as my client, you go, this guy gets me, you know, he understands. And my job is to paint the picture within the frame. Mm. Now, if I was going to go outside the frame and give you something really radical that you weren't ready for, you'd feel uncomfortable. And you go, he doesn't understand me. I'm losing trust. I'm losing connection. But the thing is that a lot of hairdressers stop at that frame. Every hairdresser worth any of their salt can frame somebody and allow the client to understand that they are on the same level. But where the real value is, where most hairdressers stop and they don't go beyond that, is then reframing the client and how they see them. So there's the frame of the client, and then the hairdresser might overlap and take them somewhere slightly different. And that to me is critical, because that's where it's when you make someone feel good, that's where the value is. It's far more valuable, I think, than what, and how they think. And that's when you give them an emotional energy. People say in this industry that the most powerful form of advertising is word of mouth. Well, I completely disagree. I think it's word of eye. Mm-hmm. And this is the difference, is that if you're leaving the salon, I've cut your hair, and you're going to meet a friend for lunch, you may recommend me to your friend, pass him my details and say, you could do with a good haircut, go and see my friend, John, Gianni, whoever. That's word of mouth. But word of eye is when you've left the salon and I've made you feel so good with the decision of the hair I've given you, not just the hair itself, but the decision of the hair, that it's emotionally suiting you, then you're going to have an energy about you. And when you're outside of the salon, someone will come up to you in the street and say, excuse me, you look great. Where did you get your hair done? Now, 33% of my clients are built that way. Mm. And that's word of eye. That's someone coming up to you. And now, they don't necessarily know you've got a good haircut. They just see that you have an energy about you. And it's about emotional suitability. So aesthetic suitability for me is not so much, I think I mentioned it before, it's not so much of an interest to me. It's much more about understanding how I can make you feel so good that when you walk out, you project yourself in a certain way. And that to me is where the magic happens. That's not necessarily me giving you who you think you are. It's about me giving you who I think you are mixed with who you think you are, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. You know. And we could talk about that for the entire podcast. And you have some great thoughts about that. You've sort of done this already, but I really want to directly ask the question purely because I've asked every other educator that I've had on where I've talked about digital education. Mm. And that is, what is your definition of suitability? And I'd be intrigued how you package that really quickly. And I know you've already sort of answered it with what you just said, but just give us a concise definition of what is suitability.
Suitability, I believe, is understanding someone on an emotional level, understanding that, having empathy with it, and then having the intelligence, the hidden intelligence, to be able to translate that into hair. That, to me, is suitability.
Yeah, that's good. That's perfect. I keep going back to, for my definition of it, is it's making someone look on the outside the way they feel on the inside. And that's really the same thing you've just said in another way.
Great way of saying it,
So it's interesting. Okay, so tell us about Mimo, the app. What exactly is it? Because I think it's revolutionary. I think it's going to be really exciting, not just for you, but for, you know, the hairdressing industry at large. So tell us what exactly Mimo is, and then we can dig into some of the detail on it.
Thank you. So, well, thank you for saying that. I am beyond excited to get to this point. It's been a while. But in short, Mimo is a sophisticated, simple, digital black book for all hairdressers. So it's a little black book that allows hairdressers to, empowers them to be able to give a 6-star service, but also remember the details. We've called it Mimo. It's M-E-dot-M-O if you were to look at it written down. And it has a sister app called Me Moments. And the name comes from memory. That's where it comes from. Because one of the things that I've noticed, again, in my years of experience, is that I'm sure there are some wonderful hairdressers listening that will pride themselves on their memory, and they do have a great memory. But what I've realized is that in general, hairdressers pride themselves on having a great memory. But the truth is, actually, that it's not quite as sharp as they would like to think. And there are certain details that they may forget that would really serve them when clients come back in and serve the clients as well. And so this is about empowering that process, not just about the verbal details, but also the visual ones as well.
Okay. So when you say we, who is it? Who's behind it?
Yeah, so it's so this, although it's something that I'm the face of, essentially, and I'm talking about it, I'm a founding member, there's four of us. And there's myself, there's another hairdresser called David Wyke, incredible, successful hairdresser in his own right. And he's multi-award winning hairdresser from, he's based in Scandinavia now. And we have two other members as well, very successful business technical entrepreneurs and investors as well. So we're a group of four. It's not a GS product, it's a separate product, but it's hand in hand with my philosophy, which is one of the main reasons that I wanted to create this. And essentially all the philosophy we've just spoke about, it's one thing talking about it and teaching people, but I really wanted to give them the tools to be able to empower them to actually be able to carry that out on a daily basis. And this is what that is, basically.
Okay. Now, you know, we're living in an age with AI, and every 5 minutes there's another app on the market. What is it that makes Mimo different to everything else out there? And I suppose, I mean, I'm lucky enough in that I've sort of seen, you know, what Mimo's all about, but I'm also very aware that most people listen to this podcast have got no idea what it's all about, and they haven't seen anything. So it's important to, you know, describe, well, what is it that makes it different? Because they can't see what makes it different at this point in time. So how would you answer that question?
Yeah, so basically it's an app that goes on your phone, and that's important to mention, it goes on your phone. Most apps that are used in a salon, and by the way, just to point at the top of this is aimed at the salon owner. It's also aimed at the freelance hairdresser. They're the two main areas that this is focused at, and there are slightly different versions, one's for the salon owner, one's for the freelance hairdresser. But it's built to be in individual phones, to save the congestion around a focused center point at the reception or an iPad in the salon. And the idea, it's an app that you open on your phone like any other app, but it allows you to, in short, take imagery of your clients before and after the service with video. It also has a dictaphone tool where you can just press a button, talk into it, and it will transcribe your verbal notes with it literally in seconds. It's 97% accurate. Mm-hmm. And you can make notes on the conversations that you've had, the product profile, the color formula, areas of the hair that maybe you were unsure about. This is just to point out, this is not about Instagram pictures. These are private. You can share them, of course, on Instagram if you want to. But the idea is that these are pictures that you take, not necessarily the finished result, but also the process. So I use it to take pictures of my sectioning patterns to teach. I've got clients with little bald areas in their hairline that I often forget about. And then once I've cut the hair in, sometimes it's too late. You know, there's areas, you know, there's lots of things that I forget that this saves the day. And so that's essentially what this does. It allows you to visually, as a stylist, you take responsibility for your own business within the business. So you're aware of all your clients, you've got the pictures of them visually, and you're aware of how many you have, because that's quite an interesting one. I don't know many stylists that are very much aware of how many clients they actually have themselves, even under a salon umbrella. And yeah. So it, you know, a lot of talking to salon owners for a moment, you know, because I can imagine a lot of salon owners will be slightly concerned. Oh, hold on a second, all this data is going on my stylist's phones. So we'll just handle the salon owner side first, maybe. That would be the easiest way to do this.
Well, yeah, okay. I was going to say, I can't get past something you said before that. You said it's a dictaphone that transcribes the voice message into text message. So that sounds very cool. I think you just said 97% accuracy. So I've cut your hair and I'm talking into my phone. I've opened the app. I'm talking into it and I'm saying, Gianni's, you know, haircut is such and such, so and so, and remember to ask him about, you know, where him and Sylvia went on their last holiday. And it's going to put that into your notes section. So correct. In 6 weeks' time, and I know you're coming in, I just open it up and those notes will be there. Cool. That is very good. That's very good. Okay.
And that,
now,
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say that comes from the fact that it's no secret I'm not the fastest haircutter in the world. For those who don't know me, trust me. Yeah. And the ones who do, I'm sure they'll tell you. And so, you know, I'm fully booked with, you know, 8-9 clients through a 12-hour day. And so I realized that if I was going to use this and talk about it, it had to work for me. And so what I don't have a lot of spare time in the day, like most hairdressers, regardless if you're fast or slow. And so what this does essentially is, you make notes very quickly, you talk into it, and it all comes out very fast. And with different fields, so you can really, you can talk about personal details through to different areas of the service,
Okay, so I can record video, I can take still images, I can record audio, and that will collate the notes on that client. Now, you were just starting to touch on who it is that uses it. So just talk to us about where does that start? Does it emanate from the owner's version, who then gives it to the stylist, who then gives a link to the client? How does that all work?
So, thank you for asking. I'll just let me clarify it for you. So there are actually just two versions of the app.
Okay.
There are two versions of Mimo. So Mimo is the hairdresser app, and there's two versions. One is for the salon owner and one is for the freelance. And then there is a separate app called Mi Moments, which is for clients.
Got it.
Just to separate it in that way for you. Mm-hmm. So we'll start from Mimo and we'll go through those two versions very briefly for you. So the salon owner's version is aimed at the salon owner will download the app really simply from App Store or Google Play. They will then invite their stylists. So let's just say they've got five stylists in the salon. They'll invite their stylists, which takes 30 seconds. And the stylists will download the app on their phone and join the salon owner's invitation. And what
so
that
they see the same thing they see, that the salon owner sees.
Well, not quite. So the salon owner has the umbrella of the account. And the stylists under the salon owner will have a mini version of they'll only be limited to what they can see. Right. But they're under the salon owner's umbrella. So this has been done just incidentally with 360-degree data protection, completely with the salon owners in mind. David, who works with me, he's a salon owner, has been for 30 years, very successful one. So we have come together on this to really make sure this is nuts and bolts, bolts and braces, totally tied down to protect the salon owner. So what the salon owner will do is invite the stylist, as I said. The stylist will then have the app and so will the salon owner. That's done. The salon, that's step one and two. And the third step, the final step, is then the salon will invite their clients for free with an extra service with the app Mi Moments. Send them the link and the salon clients can download that app called Mi Moments if they wish. They don't have to, by the way, but if they, let's just go through this, this process. And they do. And when the client downloads the app, she will look at it. Put her name and detail, name and email and password in. Very simple. It's 30 seconds. And then look for their stylist, which might be Anthony in London, for example, at Anthony's salon, for example. It'll come up and she'll click on that. And all of a sudden, the stylist and the salon owner, the client pops up. So she's onboarded herself. So there's no work really for any of the hairdresser's side to do. The clients will onboard themselves and have this Mi Moments app. So it's a sister app, basically. So that's how the set it's that's a three-step setup. If the client doesn't want to do that, because they might not want to, when they come into the salon or they don't see their email or message, the stylist can just show them a QR code on their phone, which is inbuilt in the app, and the client can just quickly scan it and do that same onboarding process there and then in the salon. It takes them 30 seconds. So that's another way of doing it. So there's various ways of onboarding.
Okay. So the stylist, the salon owner's got it, the umbrella version.
Yes.
And they invite each of their stylists to join. And each stylist can only see their clients. They can't see other people in the salon's clients. Right. Okay. And the stylist can make notes within the app. And then the stylist can invite their client through Mi Moments. Can the client see all of the notes that the stylist has made? They
not
can't.
At all.
Right.
So, so just to help you with that.
Anything,
you can put anything. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, no, absolutely not.
But I'd be careful.
No. So, no, trust me, I've been working with it for 5 years now, 4.5 years through the pandemic. Okay. So, no, what you do, just to give you that, that process to answer your question, is the stylist will take a picture of the client and make notes. And the only option that they get is to share certain pictures with the clients. They don't have to share all the pictures. They'll just pick the ones that they want to. And the client's app, all they see is just a visual diary of each visit, photographically. That's all they get, which is unbelievably powerful. Like, clients who didn't want to do this, when they see another client doing it and they suddenly get to see that visual, can you imagine having 5 years of imagery of your own, of your life? Clients had, they revalue the relationship with a stylist like you would never believe. It's unbelievable. So, it's really powerful.
So all they can see is images of their haircuts.
Correct,
they
with the date.
See the color formula and the date, right?
Zero.
So they can't see color formulations. They can't see any comments.
They only see photographs, nothing else. Right. And it's completely geared around supporting the hairdresser behind the chair and giving the client the best services she can, or he can have, or they can have.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's interesting. And at the beginning, when you started talking about it, you said there were two versions of it. You said there's one for the independent stylist and one for the salon owner. When you were saying the independent stylist, because I know a lot of salon owners that are listening to this will be thinking, well, who owns the data? If Gianni's working for me as a stylist and he decides to leave, does he take all that data with him? Because if you're an employed stylist, the salon owner might have a problem with that. Whereas if you were an independent stylist, self-employed, then of course you can do that. So just talk to me about how that works.
It's a great question. Thank you for asking me it. So let's go back to the salon owner and the employed staff. So of course, anyone who's employed would have to ask the salon owner if they were happy to have this in the salon. It's always the salon owner's decision because it's a cultural decision, of course, for the business. Mm. But assuming that the salon owner wants to go with it and we're doing this as a salon owner perspective, the salon owner will have a list of all the clients, of course, that are coming in the salon. And let's just say Anthony's one of the stylists. And Anthony's got a full roster of clients over many months and years. And Anthony decides that he wants to leave the salon and go somewhere else. First and foremost, just to point out that no data in the app, that's emails or anything else, Anthony can see. He can only see the first letter and the last letter and a load of asterisks in between. He gets no data. The salon owner, on the other hand, gets to see all the data. But the stylist gets to see no data whatsoever. When Anthony decides to leave, the salon owner can then suspend his account. So Anthony has nothing left. He can't access any of the information that he has in the app. And the salon owner, there's a thing called a waiting room. This is the salon owner's admin, their back end, and can put all of Anthony's clients into the waiting room. And then the salon owner can then decide where to distribute those clients to other stylists once Anthony has left. So Anthony might have a various amount of clients that Johnny or Lucy might be able to take on. Mm. But what's really great about that is it keeps the business as the client is the salon client, not the stylist client. Because when Anthony leaves and those clients decide get distributed to other stylists, those stylists have the notes of and pictures of how Anthony did the hair. So the client can have a repeated version of what she got with Anthony, but with the other stylists. So there's a consistency and continuity there, if that makes sense. Same as Anthony went off sick and couldn't do his client for the day, the client's covered because there's a record there for her.
Okay. So I'm trying to wear lots of different hats in this conversation. So if I'm the salon owner hat who is you know, paranoid about people taking clients and going elsewhere, then I'm going, oh, this sounds very interesting. But now I'm going to put another hat on, and that's the hat of the client. If I'm the client, let's be real here. The majority of clients, they have more loyalty to their stylist than they do to the business.
Okay.
So, you know, Gianni is my hairdresser and Gianni's left Anthony's salon. Mm-hmm. And I'm the client. Gianni usually cuts my hair and I want to go with him and I'm going to move heaven or earth to go with him. But now I'm really annoyed that all those pictures have gone. Does that happen for the client as well?
Yeah. The client loses it as well.
Right.
So this is about the hairdresser, it's, you know, helping the client, but it's in the case of the salon owner, it's protecting the salon owner's business. That's the emphasis on that. Now, if you were freelance, the freelance situation is a completely different scenario because, of course, it's a simplified version of basically they're your clients and they'll go wherever you want to go. Yeah. And, you know, quite frankly, one of the things that we noticed when we soft launched early in the year is, you know, that the fact is that a stylist wants to steal their clients from the salon through social media. In two clicks, they've got the data.
Yeah, of course they
do it. We all know that. And so we see the future of this as being on mobile phones. We don't see this as a centralized iPad in the salon that everybody shares or behind the reception where they're busy and it's congested. It's about empowering people and having it to hand at the time. And that's really important to point out in this discussion. This is aimed at the mobile phone. You can run it off an iPad and you can run it off a different device, but really this works successfully. And we've had a wonderful hairdresser, Wendy Young in Australia, who's been working with this for the last year and a half. And she's been there for 36 years, really successful. And this has been a game changer for her salon. What's amazing, Anthony, is that because you've been a salon owner and you're an expert in the field, of course, if you're a salon owner and you're on holiday and you're on the beach in Spain or Barbados or wherever you are, and you want to know how your salon's doing, what are you going to do? The only way to see how your salon's doing at that point, once you put your pina colada down, is, you know, you look at the figures, don't you? You only that way you can see your business from a beach is figures. You've got no one's got any other way of seeing how the business is doing that day, really. However, with this, with Mimo, they can visually see every client that walks out the salon. And we've had it where a salon owner has been away on holiday, had a look, seen the imagery, and then on the WhatsApp group said, "Hey, Tim," one of the guys, which is called Tim, "great set of highlights you did on Mrs. Jones at 10 o'clock. She looked fantastic. My favorite color of the day that's been." It's a motivational tool because it's a visual overview of the business. It's not just about, yes, of course, business is about money and figures, but there's another side to this. There's a cultural side about seeing the quality of the work. And also when stylists take pictures of their own work, they have to be accountable for it. And so that raises, and Wendy said it raised the, or you can't quantify it in figures. She's noticed the quality of the work has walked out of the salon is about 25 to 30% higher than it has been before. And she said that the pride and the level of clients that get to see themselves before and after, she said it's like a gasping scenario. And so I've had it myself, you know, and I can tell you some stories, but that's essentially how powerful the app can be.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm thinking about it from the salon owner's point of view, who has got, you know, a state-of-the-art point-of-sale system. And they have always said to their stylists, you know, when you're busy as a busy hairdresser, you need to take notes about people so that you can give them a great experience. And I know a lot of stylists do this where they will. And so this is done within the point of sale system. So, you know, Mary is the client and they will go to Mary's file in the point of sale system and they'll go, you know, Mary came in, she's going, a lot of our people are going on holiday at the moment, aren't they? Mary's, she's going on holiday in a couple of weeks, you know, don't forget to ask her how her holiday was or whatever it is. I mean, I'm sure people get the idea of what I'm doing. But the point of sale system currently serves that purpose in terms of taking those notes. It currently serves that purpose in terms of, depending on the point of sale system you've got, in terms of updating color records. And perhaps as a salon owner, you also have a color management software system. So I'm asking myself as a salon owner, how does this replace or replicate things I've already got? Do I really need it? Because I can definitely see there's some differences here. So talk to me about that. What does it replace?
What we found is that the booking platforms that are out there, the ones that you've mentioned, or the point of sale or the software, first of all, they're often centralized in the reception or one device in the computer because of control, or the illusion of control, should I say. And they're not hairdresser friendly. Those systems are based, their priority is based around the booking of the appointment. And they're not friendly in terms of easy to access, looking at it visually, making those notes straight away. You have to scroll down, that they're not as friendly and accessible, whereas this is dedicated specifically to give those notes and prompts to the hairdresser instantly in one place. And it's not, and also those systems aren't that easy to separate individuals from the team. And so this really gives that individual hairdresser, whether it's self-employed or an employed, that power in their hands straight away. I really want this to be very visual and easy for hairdressers to use. And I tend to find those systems are a little bit clogged up and clunky, you know, most of the time. And this is aimed around imagery as well, where you see those imagery and you can flick through them. It's the priority of this is separated from the booking platform. It's purely about the little black book and its 6-star service.
Yeah. I'm really liking that distinction again, as you talk about that with the dictaphone component.
Yes. I mean,
the visual element and talk to it. So yes, there's the visual, and I'm going to talk to it because that's what hairdressers do.
Let me just be really transparent. Let's just go into real time for a second, right? I'm fully booked in the salon. This is me. Mm. I'm going to talk for myself because this is the truth. The demonstration of the app is actually my memo. We've had to blur out the clients for data protection, but one client agreed to have it done. So the actual demo that you'll see in the link that we'll maybe leave below is actually my memo. And what I find is, and this is what's happened to me, is that the client comes in, and if I don't use it, I feel quite insecure, because even after 2 months, I go back to London every 2 months, I cannot remember the exact length that I've chosen, because in 2 months, I can't remember the detail of exactly where I place the hair. And so what I tend to do is, when the client comes in, I get the picture. I've already, on the way to work, I'm already looking at my days. I'm already pre-visualizing. You know, the most successful hairdressers that we've all met pre-visualize like a racing driver the day before, but even before technology. This is not a new concept in terms of the way that you approach it, but the way that the technology now that we have, the client looks at the picture. I show them what we did before. We decide to change or stay with, or however we go through the consultation. But once we've finished, my hands are usually full of some form of product. I'm usually running late. My next client's waiting. They're waiting to leave. And so as they get up out of the chair, and I've snapped the pictures really quickly before and after. As they leave, I then go quickly into my phone. I click on and just say, and reel off the information from the appointment. I had a client, she was a brand new client, and she came in and she was losing weight. And she said, I've decided, I've given up sugar. I'm not eating chocolate. She said it very briefly in the intro, but emotionally I could pick it up. That's where she was at. And I made a note in Memo about the sweetener she was using. She came back the second time. I always find the second visit of a client the most difficult. And when she came in, I said to my assistant at the time when I had one, I said, don't bring her through to me until I've spoken to her at the waiting area. And we delivered a cup of tea, and I went out for 99 pence and bought the sweeteners and delivered to her without seeing her first. The assistant took it to her. And it's those details that she's not going anywhere else because she remembered. Mm. I could never have done that. And, you know, I don't care how many, if the busier the stylist is, the less they're going to remember. Yeah. And, you know, that's really the power of it behind it. And so it's the dictaphone's really quick because you just quickly say it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like it, that.
You know, it's brilliant. I'm even with greasy hands.
you will know that I'm sold on the dictaphone because of our WhatsApp messages. They're all dictaphone.
I love it. It's just like Starskin Hutch.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about something while you were talking, that what the client has is still images or video or potentially both.
Both. They can have still images. All the videos that you take, you can. So difficult. I know listeners listening to this obviously haven't got it in front of them. But bottom line is, when I've taken six pictures and a video of you, for example, of you, they pop off my screen in the app, and I can tick which ones I share and just press share. If I don't want to tick any, I don't, and they don't get them. It's really easy, simple. And then within seconds, the client's in the chair, and then now my clients wait for them to come through. And by the time I've got the gown off, you know, it takes about 30 seconds, and they've got them before they leave the salon.
Yeah, interesting. There's a I don't know who started doing this, but I think it was a gentleman by the name of Sam Via. I don't know if you know Sam, but he often talks about one of the things that he does with salon clients is he will say to them, you know, give me your phone, and he'll put it on a tripod, and he'll blow dry their hair, and he'll show them and give them a lesson on blow drying your hair in real time as he's finishing their hair in the salon. This is a product to use. This is how much of it. This is how you apply it. You comb it through, yada, yada. And I think that's a great idea in terms of educating the client, and obviously the opportunities at the same time as you're subliminally recommending retail products. And so that's why I was asking you, is it for still images only or is it for video? Because there's a big difference between, well, big difference. What Sam is doing is he's saying, give me your phone, the client's phone, and he puts it on the tripod and let's record this. And that's great. So now that's saved in their photos library. But what you're saying is that you've actually created a bucket for it as part of your salon journey app, that this is the haircut, this is what the end result looks like, this is how you dry it, this is how you use styling products. It's great. I love it. It's really good.
Sam, obviously, an amazing, fantastic force in the industry. What a great guy. I don't know him personally, but that's a great thing. And what we wanted to do, what we've noticed, though, we found is that, hey, how many clients come in and they say, oh, I've seen this picture that I love. And then they get the phone out and you're losing 5 minutes for them to find in their phone their imagery because it's lost in there. We wanted to centralize it so it's all in the same place so you can turn to it quickly and get it. And one of the other things that we do and what I've done is we take a video. I video the sectioning patterns that I do. And then I can fade at the finish as well. I've got a client that one comes to mind where I put a little wave in the front and she always says, I can never do that like you do it. So I obviously recommended the right product, the right flat clips to put in and what to do. And I videoed it and shared it on her Me Moments, but then I've got it to share to my assistant who can see it as well. So it's a really good training tool, you know, for that in that sense, but keeping it all in the same place is really critical. And that to me is, if you look through some of the ones that I have, you will see me pointing at bits in pictures because I had a client who'd been doing for 25 years and her hair went gray during the pandemic, like most of our clients did. And when she came back, Anthony, I struggled. I did her hair the first time and she liked it when she left the salon. When she came back, she said, I didn't like it. It didn't work. And it was out here. And I was quite taken aback because I wasn't expecting that. So I apologized, and I thought, whoa, I haven't had that feeling, for a little while. So I got down, did the second haircut. She came back in the same problem. And now I'm on the ropes. Now I'm really struggling. And it turned out that the hair, because of the coarseness of her hair, had expanded and the layers were too short for that texture. So I had to leave the layers longer. I won't get too technical on the podcast. But I then did on the third haircut, when I worked it out, was I photographed my fingers where the layer is at the top of her ear. And so the next time she comes in, I know where I'm going. And that gives me great, it saves me time and gives me great confidence, but gives her confidence as well. So that's just an example. Sure.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Listen, we need to wrap up, but obvious question is, well, what does this cost? If I'm a hairdresser or a salon owner, what is the cost component? How does that look?
Well, we've wanted to make this as accessible as we possibly could. So essentially, it's very simple. For a salon owner, for one salon, regardless of the amount of staff that they have, whether it's one or 20 stylists plus, whatever, it's $14.99. And that $14.99 is in pounds if you're in the UK. It's in euros if you're in Europe. It's in dollars if you're in North America, for example, or in Canada, it's Canadian. So it's $14.99 per month. For freelancers, it's $9.99 a month. Again, respective currencies, all the same.
So it's $14.99 for a salon.
Correct.
Whether you've got two staff or 22 staff.
Correct.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer. I'll be honest with you. We give a 2-month free trial as well. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that the only hurdle that we find that people need to step through is just to make sure that they begin the discipline of taking the data in at the very beginning of each client. So they just get used to doing that first visit, taking notes and taking a picture. That's it. Just the once, because it's not something they're used to doing. But the minute that the client returns, boom, the magic happens. Most apps in the world, whether it's a fitness app, a diet app, you get instant gratification the minute you use the app. This is when the client walks back through the door. It's a game changer, an absolute game changer. So it's a 2-month free trial to allow stylists a chance to put the data in and take the picture and use the notes. So when that client comes back, as we use 2 months as a general, comeback time, it varies obviously. And we really wanted to make this easy for people to use and affordable.
Okay. And when will it be in the App Store or, Google? When will people be able to access it?
It's currently in the App Store and Google Play as we speak. Although we are actually, we're doing some final tweaking, but people are still using the app when we soft launched it. We're officially launching it in January. And by January, we'll be ready to go publicly. So I'm really excited to do that. Right. But it's available. The best way, it'd be difficult to find, as you pointed out, on those app stores at the moment because it's just brand new and we haven't raised up the rankings. But if we have QR codes and links, and that's the best way. It also has its own Instagram page as well, Mimo. So you'll be able to, either way, be able to click on links or QR codes for now. And then in the new year, hopefully, we'll be having a bit more of a presence.
All right. So where can people connect with you on Instagram or other social media channels for Gianni or for Mimo? Where do we want to send people?
Well, my Instagram is Gianni Scamacci. And in my bio, there'll be two links. One is to my online business and one is to Mimo. So that'll be on there. So that you can click on there, and Mimo has its own Instagram handle as well. And so you can check both out and access it that way. There's also a website to it as well. That would be the easiest and quickest way to find them.
Cool. Okay. So if you're listening to this podcast with Gianni and have enjoyed it, then do me a favor, take a screenshot on your phone, share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review on the Apple Podcast app. I will put all those links that Gianni just said. They will be in the show notes for today's podcast. And if there's a QR code, then I'll also put that there so that you can find out exactly what this is all about and get that free trial to see how it fits in with your salon and your culture. But it sounds like an absolute game changer to me. I wish you all the very best with it. I've sort of seen some of it, and the bits that I've seen just look fantastic. It's beautifully designed, and I think it does open up an area that wasn't being addressed before. So it's not necessarily replacing something, it's a niche in its own right. So Gianni, thank you so much for being on the Grow My Salon Business podcast. It's been great having this chat to you again and getting the sort of scoop on the Mimo app. Any final words before we wrap up?
No, I'm humbled that you've invited me back on. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope my passionate ramblings haven't bored the listeners.
No, not at all. It's been very interesting. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us, you'll find us at growmysalonbusiness.com or on Facebook and Instagram at growmysalonbusiness. And if you enjoyed tuning into our podcast, make sure that you subscribe, like, and share it with your friends. Until next time, this is Anthony Whittaker wishing you continued success.